Well, AI is a buzzword just about everywhere right now, but not every AI trend is worth jumping on. So in this conversation, we're going to unpack the ones that you should take a look at for your church and those you should leave behind. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about AI trends for 2026. We're going to do a deep dive on that and give you some of our feedback on what we think is working, what we should be maybe ignoring, what we should take a deeper look at, some of that kind of stuff. So should be a good conversation, Ian.
Yeah. With the new year approaching and with AI doing and what it's done already and the momentum with it, 2026 should be a big year for AI and also how churches can use it. So
I'm sensing that like AI is kind of like a buzzword right now that like every company is using AI as like kind of part of their product pitch when they talk about AI. But in my experience, I feel like a lot of churches are a little bit lost on like what practically can it do for me? Most of us have used ChatGPT or, you know, Claude or one of those to get some things done. And I think there's also a lot of AI tools that we don't even really realize are AI because we've been using them for so long.
Right.
But we want to do a deeper dive today on some of the things that are, you know, over and above, like, you know, use ChatGPT to write emails or that kind of stuff. To kind of talk about some of the things that maybe even are pushing the envelope too much. I think like there are some things we'll probably unpack, like as you asked me about them, I'm going to reserve the right to just reject them outright in some cases as things that we should be doing at all. I didn't prepare much for this, so I'm going to leave it to you to like kind of ask me, and I'm going to give you, these will all be hot takes from me on my thoughts.
Well, I'm sure
on
you'll do
things.
Fine. This is a topic you're passionate about, as most people who watch us and follow us know. So
yes, I do follow it. And I think We made a decision here at ReachRight to go all in on AI because I really do believe in it, like that it is something that we want to see the church use well. Now, that doesn't mean that we're having like unbridled enthusiasm towards AI in all circumstances.
Right.
We just know that it will shift the way we do church, and we want to be on the forefront of that. And so that's what we're thinking about here.
Yes, sir. Agreed. So
you want to explain our ranking system to people?
We have another nifty ranking system. So must use tools would be the ideal one. Worth a look is kind of like, okay, yeah, worth a look, simply put. And then we have wait and see. That would be one where that's a little more uncertain. Yeah.
So I don't know, like there's going to be some, I'll wait and see. But I don't even know that wait and see is going to make sense for some of them, but we'll give it a shot.
Yeah. So well, let's kick off the first one. The first one is personalized communication, using that in 2026.
Give me some context. What do we mean by personalized?
So like, autofill names, stuff that recalls past, conversations, those types of things.
Okay. So I think that there's a place for this. When I think of auto-filled names and that stuff, I mean, we've been doing that with mail merges and that kind of stuff for years, right? So I don't think that's necessarily AI maybe it is AI. I don't really know. I think it's just kind of a program that defines like, you know, what you're pulling in. But I will say that there is a place for using AI. I know there's tools like Glue and some of those guys out there that are trying to help churches get on the forefront of this. But like, pulling out data from your church CRM or some other piece of software to get communication, like to hit the right communication at the right time for the right people. So this is stuff we've been thinking about for a while. I know for, you know, years we've been trying to do this on websites. I do like this in general. I think it's something that a lot of churches can be digging in on. I'm not here for the, like, just really leaning into having AI do my communication for me. And I think people can still see through it. But that's kind of my initial take. I don't know. What do you think, Ian?
No, I would too. So, yeah, I mean, communication is obviously a big part of ministry, right? And being authentic with that. Obviously, the Lord has given us communication to share the gospel and build relationship. And so something to definitely, I think, you know, exercise some caution to how far you go with it, right?
That's it. And I think that right now, like, this is one of those things where while a lot of these offering providers may be saying they're using AI for this kind of stuff, I don't know that like most of us use it in an AI capacity yet. Like I think of like a text in church is something my church uses. We do a lot of our automatic texting and that kind of stuff through it. And most of that is still just list based. We're not really relying on its AI just yet. So I guess to like sum it up, I would say this would fall under the like worth a look category.
Worth a look, right.
Agreed. Something maybe to look into. I think this will develop over the next couple of years. And then we'll have some hard ethical questions on like, is this okay for us to process people's information this way and make communication decisions based on what AI tells us to get them the right message at the right time? So definitely something that happens in regular marketing, whether it's appropriate for the church, I think it's maybe a worth a look.
Worth a look, right. Next one we've talked a lot about, which is sermon research tools. So obviously to help you generate sermon outlines, looking up passages, cross-referencing, all of that. So what do we think on that?
Yeah, love it. I am here for that, absolutely. I do it. I personally use it. Now, let me take a step back. So I am famous for 2 or 3 years ago when we first started talking about AI on this podcast a lot, I was very adamant, never use AI to write sermons. I have come back from that. And again, I think people misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying type into AI, write a sermon on John chapter 4 verses 8 through 12. Like that's not the way you use it. I am absolutely for using AI as a research, an assistant, and a tool. But I'm only okay with it after I have done the work in my own heart with the Holy Spirit in the passage myself. So I would never start with AI. If I'm, you know, supposed to preach on a specific passage or a topic, I would always start in prayer, in reading the word, in listening to the Holy Spirit, waiting to hear his voice, wanting to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me through this. And then once I've done that, the same way I would use commentaries or maybe listen to somebody else's message on a topic, another tool in my belt now is using AI. And so I certainly use Claude and ChatGPT for these kinds of things. I know like some of the Bible software like Logos, they basically have a ChatGPT wrapper in there where they use OpenAI, I believe. It's probably the system that they use to pull in results from all of their trained material on all the content they have in Logos Bible software. So yeah, it is a vital part of my process now is using AI as a tool to help me process really a lot of the research kinds of things, to find reference scriptures. It's faster for me. And even to, you know, even in some cases working on some illustrations, maybe bouncing ideas off it or having it ask me questions to pull out illustrations from me. So so this one is definitely a must use tool for me. I know I wouldn't have said that a couple of years ago, but now it's hands down in that category.
Yeah. Yeah. No, agree. So sounds good. This next one we've talked a little bit about too, visual media and graphics. So for example, Canva's AI features, for sermon slides, even social media posts and those types of things.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I think that's also really, really useful. I have a caveat is that I think that I am not as keen on using not real people. I don't really like that as much. Yeah. It's kind of the same rules I would have for stock photography on websites or in marketing and stuff. If it's not your real people, I think it's almost deceitful to be kind of presenting your church as these people when that's not really who you are. I think I'm okay with it if you're acknowledging or you have a note there that says, you know, this is AI generated image. We use that kind of stuff here at ReachRight for you know, some of our B-roll footage and that kind of stuff. But, you know, for putting together graphics or coming up with ideas, we've even done videos about how to use it to make graphics, to even make a logo. And it didn't do great, but that was like a year and a half ago we did that video now. So maybe we should time to test the water on that again. So I guess I would say when it comes to graphics, like as long as you're not, I'm for people, I say no. Like I'm kind of ruling that out right now. Maybe it's a wait and see. But I think for actual just graphics and ideas and coming up with that, I think you still need a human touch for it. But AI is a great tool for that. So it's a must use in that area. It's a wait and see when it comes to using it with people.
Yeah, when you say people, makes me think of when we talk about websites, and when we build websites, we don't recommend stock photography, right? Yeah. So it's just comes off as disingenuous and fake. So
One thing I'm thinking about with this right now is that this is a real trend in marketing right now, and you guys need to be aware of this. Just like a lot of the marketing you're going to see, one of the best tools in marketing is something called UGC, or user generated content. And so what that is when you have like a video of someone that feels like it's a handheld, they just shot a video, like a testimonial or something. A lot of those now are fake. And so churches never do that. Never have people give fake testimonials that have AI do that.
Oh, boy.
That's something just to kind of to rule out right now. Even though marketers are doing that, I'm very much against it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, agreed with that. So this next one, Tom, is an interesting one. Autonomous assistant. So we think of like chatbots, you know, assistants handle routine tasks like frequently asked questions, you know, maybe on a website. And one interesting one is prayer requests. So I imagine we have some feedback around that. So,
okay. So I'm going to rule out certainly autonomous agents doing, or autonomous assistants doing prayer request responses, other than something that just says, your prayer request has been noted. We're going to pass this along to our pastoral team.
To a ministry leader.
That's probably fine. I've seen some churches, and I've seen this more with like individual ministries, creating chatbots based on their leader or their primary teacher on some of his or her teachings, and basically building a AI version of whatever, Rick Warren or Stephen Furtick. I don't know if they probably haven't, these particular guys, but just as an example, you know, having an AI version of that, or, you know, even you could do a historical one. You could do an AI Charles Spurgeon, for instance, and answer biblical questions from how Charles Spurgeon would have answered them. Really, it's pretty cool. I don't know. Like, I don't know, like, for an actual ministry context, if I would recommend that today for pastors to build an AI that's like, this is how our church would counsel you, or, you know, how to answer Bible questions. Because while I think it'll be right, like the vast, vast majority of time, I still think that I could trick it. Like if I tried to, I did this test once, probably about 6 months ago, on someone that built one of these. Okay. And it was from a very conservative ministry. And they were kind of, I guess, cessationists is what these people were. So they don't believe any of the gifts are operating today. And so I got it to basically tell me that, two things. I remember I had it tell me that, it is wrong to ever pray for healing for somebody. Like I basically had it say that. I don't think even the makers of that would have said that. Like it's wrong to always pray for healing. And then I also told it that I had just got baptized at Elevation Church. Yeah. And Stephen Furtick himself did the baptism. And it said that I should immediately renounce that and go get rebaptized at a different church, basically. So I still think I can trick them. That's why, like, until like I think that if you talk to that pastor that made it himself, then you wouldn't be able to trick him. He would be able to kind of tell you, yes, it is okay to pray for people in some circumstances for healing, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Right. So I guess it's a wait and see. Like it's worth looking at now and maybe a little bit wait and see, but I think that like I'm not ready to embrace it just yet because I think that they're just not foolproof. And when it comes to like theology and people's eternity, I'm not willing to compromise that. I'm never willing to compromise that, I guess. I don't want to say not yet. I'm not in the future I'll compromise that. But
So, that's funny. And yeah, the prayer request, I mean, that's obviously such a personal thing and the way that God uses us to obviously care for others and minister to them. And being very authentic, they're definitely a big thing. So next one is analytics for ministry strategy. So basically like taking data from church management software, email engagement, service stuff. Yeah. So what are we thinking on this?
I kind of like it. This is, it might feel a little bit too personal for people. But I like this. So here's an example. My online giving software that we use at my church, it's called Overflow. I really like them. It lets us do stock gifts and crypto gifts and all those things. But they have some functionality built in. And I think a lot of software, this is not unique to them, a lot of giving software does this now, where it lets you, it identifies people that are in like kind of their software indicates that there's a high likelihood that they may stop giving at some point. Or they maybe have, like, it's usually like kind of a combination of they have not given in a little while and and they kind of have some metrics that it then notifies me and says, hey, this person is at risk of being lost as a regular giver at our church.
Wow.
So I don't know. That probably, I mean, our audience, I'm sure that probably rubs some of us the wrong way. It's a little bit scary to think about that, that like, you know, maybe that just gives us the ick that we would try and follow up. I can tell you that the largest churches in the country, almost all of them have like people dedicated to that, like to solving those kinds of things. So it's not something that like you should be aware of this, and you can form your own theology on whether that's appropriate or not. But I think like, if you decide it's okay, using AI to help you with that is absolutely a no-brainer. I know that I use it a lot for just overall trends. So I will. Our rule of thumb is that I will anonymize all of our donations. So I will get rid of everybody's personal information from it, and then like just assign them all a number that I will then understand on my end, and then I will load that into ChatGPT or Claude or whatever system you want to use. And then I will query it. I'll ask questions about, hey, you know, what are some of our numbers? What are some of the trends that we're looking at? If things keep going the same way, what can we expect to do next year? I'm doing this right now in this kind of budgeting season for 2026 at my church. I've been using AI a lot, and I've using our past donations, using a lot of our expenditures. So all of our accounting information I'm loading into there. There's some stuff we're pulling from Planning Center to pull in on attendance history and stuff. So yeah, so I'm definitely like in a, I'd say I'm definitely like a worth a look for most churches on this, at least kind of considering it. To me, it's becoming a must-use tool. But I think at a minimum, it's worth a look. As long as you're okay with, you don't have to use kind of that like AI prompting for giving specific information and that kind of stuff. That's kind of up to you to use as a church, but just something to consider, I think.
Yeah, agree with that. Yeah, it could rub some people the wrong way, but yeah, I could see where it also is helpful. So this next one's an interesting one, voice cloning for sermon dubs. So like being able to take a message and translate it into multiple languages or in a tone or voice that sounds like the pastor. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, super cool. I'm kind of like, so I like that as an idea of a way to do it. So dubbing it into different languages, I think that's pretty cool. I don't know that like really moved the needle for most English speaking churches.
Sure.
I don't think the big barrier to your growth is that you're not in Spanish yet or something like that. So, but
Mandarin,
or, I mean, it's something that you certainly could look at. Yeah. I think the value for me is, and we do this at Reach Right, just this last week, I think one of our videos, we did all of the recording for it, right? So we did one of these, not this podcast. This is pretty raw the way we do it. We don't do a ton of editing on this. But for some of our more produced videos, I think it was our one that we just did about church website trends for this coming year.
Yeah.
The Jay, our lead designer, he introduced a topic, but he didn't really say what he needed to say to introduce it. So we used a tool called 11 Labs to clone his voice. All of us have voice clones. You've heard it for you and for me.
Yep.
So we cloned his voice and had him actually say it. It wasn't on screen. We didn't have him like his mouth wasn't moving. So we just had a list up there while he said it. But it sounded like his voice. Like I personally couldn't tell. Like my rule of thumb for this is I think my wife could tell if it was me or not. And I can certainly tell if it's a clone of my voice or my actual voice. But I think for people that don't know us intimately, they wouldn't be able to tell that a cloned voice is not our own voice.
Yeah.
So for that, I know that I'm using it. I think it's okay. A use case I could think of is, let's say you had a great point you made in your sermon and you want to put it on as a reel or a YouTube short or a TikTok, but you didn't really do a very good hook to go with it. So you could, in theory, have AI clone your voice and then make a hook for that really great point that you made in your sermon. And it's still your words. You're typing the hook out yourself. It's just not your voice, and it's not you actually having to record it. So that's a use case that I think is useful to me and us. I think that's kind of a must-use tool, but it's at least worth a look, I think, for most people. I don't have any ethical qualms with that. But if you do, let us know in the comments. Come at us.
Yeah, there you go. Come at us for sure. So come at me, bro. So number seven here is predictive AI for church growth. Kind of like what we talked about with analytics for ministry strategy. Like there's tools that can, you know, illustrate that there's a member that is maybe likely to stop attending regularly, those types of things. So definitely interesting and a little bit different than the giving one that we talked about, but like, you know, analyzing behavior for forecasting future stuff.
So I think this is, to me, it's fine. I don't have like an ethical qualm with it. You know, knowing that it's just kind of, it's giving you odds. It's not giving you, it's not like the Minority Report where it's going to know this person's going to backslide ahead of time or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's, I'm okay with it as long as you approach it that way. You know that it's about just statistically, this is kind of what's happening. I think the rub here for most churches and why it's not something really useful is you just don't have good data to give it.
Yeah.
So what these things are going to operate on is whatever you have in your church management software. One thing we keep good records of in churches is people's giving, because we're required to by law, and that's just how that works. One thing we're mostly not good at is people's attendance and those kind of things. So, you know, I've found just in working with churches that very few, like almost none, are taking like Sunday attendance and can tell you who was there on a Sunday and who wasn't.
Yeah.
Most are struggling with life group or small group attendance. Like you know, they have small groups, but, you know, all of our church management software has tools to be able to track who was going to small groups and who isn't. But I have found in my talk with churches that most don't do a good job of that. So the problem here is not so much whether you can use it or if it's wrong or not. It's just, I don't think we have good enough data to be able to make that worthwhile. So in most cases it falls flat, but if you do have good data, I think it's at least worth a look is what I would say.
Yeah, no, that's good. Next one, sermon repurposing. I'm pretty sure I know what we're going to say on this, something that's being happening for a while, like so repurposing sermons for shorts, for, you know, all of those things, small group questions, all of that. So we're for that, right?
I'm not against it. Like, I guess I'm kind of changing on this right now. So, like, as far as whether it's okay to do this or not, no question for me. Like,
right.
It's totally okay to have AI take a look at your sermon, read the transcript, find the right moments, and present you ready to go repurposed clips on things. So tools like church.tech, Sermon Shots, those guys, they're all doing that. They do a decent job. My only rub is that, like, these platforms, like we're talking about TikTok, Instagram and Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts, they're so much more competitive now than what they were when these things first rolled out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That I just don't think like that you're going to like be able to move the needle as much as you would like just by repurposing sermon content in general. Like, so it's not even that AI is like that bad at it, but I'm just saying like repurposed content, it still has a place. It still is like half of what you see on these kinds of platforms, I would say. But I'm just watching the trend line go down because I think that people are like, there's more and more effort and work being put into this kind of content, and people more and more will expect highly produced, well done content. Like the amount of time that people spend, I don't know if you ever see like these, like I think that's the most obvious is these cooking videos where people will make food and they're so fast. They probably like in a 60-second video, they probably have something like, I would guess in some cases like 120 cuts. So a cut every half second is how quickly that they're doing this and building these really well-produced things. That's what you're competing against. Like, so it's kind of hard just to take a snippet of a sermon and compete with that kind of production value. So for those reasons, I think it's worth a look. Like, and you probably ought to at least play with it, try it out, see how it does. It's probably better than doing nothing still at this point. But I expect that diminishing returns trend to continue. And I don't think this is going to be something that's going to be a thing in a couple of years, probably. So that's my take right now.
Yeah, agree with you. Yeah, definitely a couple of years ago, but yeah, seeing that shift. But now, so last but not least, using AI for church policies. So this is an interesting one.
Yeah. So a couple things to say on this. So I think that AI is a useful tool for the monotony of writing church policies.
Yeah.
So if that's your, if it's something you have to do, which we all have to do, every church should have handbooks and playbooks and just the way that you do things. You should have protocols on, right now my church is like really getting our SOPs ironed out for first time visitor follow-up. And you need to have something in writing, and AI is a great tool to kind of get you over the hump. You give it the broad bullet points of what you want to do, and then it can kind of help you with that. It's also, in my experience, a decent tool when it comes to some of the more legal policy type things. So think of like your church's privacy policy, some of those kind of things that you have to have to be online and use platforms like Facebook and stuff. Now, I say all that, please hear me. Like, I'm not a lawyer. Sure that lawyers would point out the problems with doing that. I just know to get churches over the hump, it is a useful tool to do that. Please consult an attorney before you actually publish any of those things. But it gets you 99, if not 100% of the way there, I would say. So, yes, it's a good tool for that. I also think that your church needs to have policies on AI use. And we did a whole video about that, about how your church needs to set up an AI policy guide so that your church, like your staff, your leaders, your members, just kind of know what lines will we not cross when it comes to AI. And yeah, you could probably use AI to help you with this. I don't know if it's coded to be able to self-limit or how any of that works exactly. But yeah, I think every church should have some policies in place around how they are and are not going to use AI. And it would say things like when we, it would identify that if we're ever going to use fake people, let's say in our videos, we will always acknowledge that in the video. Yeah. We would actually say that before we do that. We would say that it's AI generated, or it would talk about like what is across the line when it comes to AI use. So all of those things are important. I think it's definitely a, I'd say it's a must-use tool when it comes to creating policies. I would do that, and you must create a policy for your AI usage, I think.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Anything else to add, Ian?
No, no. Obviously, we hope this was helpful and give some people to some things to think through, church pastors, ministry leaders to think through for what you may want to implement in 2026 or even right now.
Yeah, absolutely. If you disagree with us on any of these, I'd love to hear it in the comments. You know, we're not above reproach on these kinds of things. So yeah, please let us know if you have a different way of thinking about this kind of stuff. If you have other ways that you've been using AI in some of these kind of categories, we'd love to hear about it. Thanks, guys, for watching the Reach Right podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.